Welcome to the show
with the three amigos, Hotman, Crowder, and Solana on FM radio. Them boys be sliding, so we riding and we ready to go. 100,000 watts, full throttle, baby, ready to blow. We passing Boca up to Jupiter, we got your attention. You can tune in anywhere, but listen at your discretion. To the legend, Mr. Hotman, can't stop him, meet you the deuce. My brother got his own hot burger at Tucker Deuce. Now my rush more of these sports, spitting the truth. It's Channing Crowder, the greatest dolphin to rock the 52. Solana one, best of Miami, the voice of FIU. We reppin' to Miami, the Heat and the Panthers too. We reppin' for the Marlins, the Dolphins, that's how we do. We reppin' for the crew, so it's always about the you. Hey Jimmy, please get a bell on the phone and tell him that it's home. I finally got his name on the song. Can't do him wrong, cause it sounds so sweet. You spit the fast while I keep the crowd on their feet. Football season be the reason that I be bringing this heat. Georgia music representing 104.3. Hey,
show, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. So I guess you have to do the John Harbaugh checklist, right? That's what you have to figure out. So if you're Stephen Ross and Tom Garfinkel and Troy Aikman and Dan Marino, that's never going to be not funny, though, by the way, saying Troy Aikman in this group. Although I guess Aikman, he doesn't have a say in the head coach. Although I guess if you're paying him, ask him his opinion on anything, no?
Don't leave him out of anything. You're giving him a check. Come on, Dan.
Let him call the plays.
Come on, Troy and Dan. Get together, Troy and Dan.
But you have to go through a checklist, right? And just say, does John Harbaugh make us that much better? If I'm going to open the checkbook and pay him whatever he wants, give him whatever kind of control he wants, does he make us that much better? So I would ask you, Crowder, if John Harbaugh was the coach of this year's Dolphins team, Tua's the quarterback, but, you know, John Harbaugh can't help it if Tua's become a bad quarterback. Yeah. Like, I don't know if he improves that, but Harbaugh's the coach. Tyreek goes down early in the season. Now, I guess you could take it way back further and say, hey, does Jalen Ramsey want to leave if Harbaugh is the coach? Like, there, I guess there's a lot of things that you can go back. But if you're doing this head coaching search, you have to answer all these questions in your mind.
That's the thing. And like I was saying, I was thinking, like, I was thinking about writing down a list, like a checklist. Let's get these boxes checked on whatever that candidate is. But it goes back to the stability of the locker room. Remember Calais Campbell and Jalen, all them veterans, you heard the chatter that they didn't really like how things were going. Just the entire McDaniel illusion of things that we've been dealing with, none of that happens under Harbaugh. He is going to have stability. He's going to have a culture. We know what it's going to look like. This team is totally going to change, Hawk. It's not going to be this fun run around, double shifts, shoot back in the backfield. It's going to be Harbaugh football. His brother and him, their dad, it's going to be that. That's what I think we've been missing with the goofiness of Adam Gase with the taco eyes, with the silliness of all these guys we've had. Like, I think the stability of Harbaugh is exactly what we want. Proven 13 playoff wins over 18 years. Like, that's what we need. That's what the checklist is, his stability.
What the Dolphins end at this season, Solana? Was it 7-10?
Yep, 7-10.
What are they under John Harbaugh this season? Let's say everything is the same. Tua plays below average, certainly for him. Tyreek's out most of the season. Achan is a great running back. Like, everything is there. Harbaugh is your head coach.
And you're saying he, before camp this year, we just switch head coaches.
Yep. Yes.
I will say Harbaugh has 2 wins at least. I think they're at least 9-8.
I mean, if you believe that, and I'm probably on that side, then it's almost a no-brainer, because then he's doing it with someone else's people and essentially system, because if you're coming in at camp, you don't have a lot of time to create a culture and
it might be more Hawk now that you ask me that, because think about what was Solana said the numbers on pregame. They were what they outscored in the third quarter, 120 to 13 or something.
It's worse. It's worse than that. I'll double check. I don't have that in front of me, but yeah, it's insane.
That's not happening. And Harbaugh is not going to let that happen week after week after week to get dominated in the third quarter like that. It's just not going to happen under his watch.
Like you would imagine that week one Indianapolis game, there's no way a Dolphins team looks like the Dolphins looked under a John Harbaugh head coach.
No, and we always start slow. We've talked about this for years. It's funny. What was it? Monday. We're talking about how we could do this. We did this show last year. We might as well replay last season. We're doing the same show with McDaniel. They're going to start slow. He's going to figure something out midseason. They're going to win four or five in a row. We get all excited. Then they'll get the ass whooped in December by a couple teams. Tennessee Titans that a couple years ago we were supposed to be we're not supposed to be a wild card. All of those things are not going to happen under Harbaugh year after year. It's not like we're giving up on McDaniel for a year or two. He's had a chance to get this thing together. He's on the downturn of his bell curve.
130-27 is what it ended up as after being outscored by the New England Patriots. I believe it was 14-0 in that third quarter. That's the number, 130-27.
We've had a couple teams give us third quarters over the history of sports down here, and Dolphins are just the latest in line.
Yeah, and then after the bye week, there's nothing special about him having 2 weeks to get ready for a game. I would be interested in the Harbaugh's after the bye. I know Andy Reid's after a bye week is crazy. Like those type coaches that you see what a coach can do in certain situations, and there's no we're talking about the Broncos 2023 game. That was what we still talk about with McDaniel. That's what he hangs his hat on.
Couple of notes here as we endeavor into today's Wednesday program, where Zach Gelb will join us and Don Bailey Jr. will join us from Arizona, and Lee Sterling will join us. He's got some winners, hopefully, for both college football playoff games. Couple of notes. If you've listened the last couple of days, Crowder had some audio issues. If you were listening in the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour yesterday, you know that Solana solved the problem. And I just wanted to bring it up at the beginning of the show, how delighted I am that Solana, through anger and tears and blood and hard work, solved the problem. Crowder, you have never sounded better. You're in Bradenton, I'm guessing?
Yep, still in Bradenton.
He fixed it. Solana fixed it. And I want to give all the credit in the world to someone who went into the lab, admittedly, took him a day and a half, mm-hmm. 7 hours of broadcast time.
Some little boring by him towards me.
But you didn't even hear what he was saying about you off the air. I'm not even joking. But Solana really was. Because even the last couple days, no joke, this is a big week. We got a big Hurricanes game tomorrow. I've been on edge because you haven't sounded right. And Solana fixed it. So I felt so good driving home last night. And I feel good signing in today. Somebody puts in, what browser is Crowder using? That was the problem. I mean, we went through every checklist item, every setting, every audio output. We were complaining to the makers of microphone companies. We had Tim Cook from Apple. We sent him a curtly worded email. We were going down every avenue, and Solana figured out Crowder was using Safari. It's a brand new Apple MacBook AirBook, and Solana figured it out that he was using Safari, and our video conferencing service works much better on Google Chrome. And Outlook.
I'm not browsing anymore. I used to be browsing.
Once we got your Google Chrome, Outlook, Alexa, everything has sounded better, and your Mac AirBook Pro MacBook looks good. The video connection, and so Solana, you did your thing yesterday.
Yeah, I'm surprised the guy that calls the computer the MacBook Pro Book Comb AirBook didn't have it right when he claimed it was just a faulty microphone, and I insisted, no, I don't believe that's what it is. I believe Crowder,
that's not what you said,
is at fault here, but that's okay.
You said Crowder was sabotaging the show. He did suggest to me, Jimmy, am I lying?
You're not lying.
Off the air, he suggested to me that you were purposefully sabotaging the show. And I had to talk him off the ledge. I'm like, Solana, you're not making any sense. But this is how insane with anger he was.
Oh, he was hot yesterday. But as you work through it, Solana, why would I sabotage the show? I don't know. What was it?
I didn't think you were sabotaging the show. I just thought you're like, can't hear anymore. Figure it out, Solana. Like, well, first of all, learn how to unmute. Can we start there? Learn how to unmute.
Solana, I was calling you. I called you 3-4 times.
The whole thing was Crowder sat with you for an hour during his off time yesterday to do it and then was here to do the show and whatever. But then you thought he was sabotaging it, which I didn't understand.
I was giving 100%. I thought you were giving 18%. And then you pair that with Coach Larinaga, who of all days to be looking at the video section when clearly we were trying to get to the audio.
Solana fixed everything.
Solana, you did it, and I appreciate it, and I'm glad we sound good. I'm not sabotaging, and I'm glad that you celebrated today by wearing that wrinkly-ass track outfit you have on.
What the hell are you wearing?
What are you vintage wearing?
Miami Vice vibe. This is vintage. I bought this in a vintage store in Rome, or, as the Romans would say, Roma. And I haven't worn it. I never wore it. Spent €80 on this. Never wore it. So I figured, why not today?
That's a $100 windbreaker. I mean, that is a members only windbreaker that you would get at Mervyn's in South Florida in 1983. That's a 1983 Mervyn special.
That is terrible. And was it packaged in a shrink wrap bag? Why is it so wrinkly?
You hadn't unpacked it since you got back from Rome?
I haven't unpacked it since I moved into my house 15 months ago. I was unpacking some boxes that was in the attic yesterday. I said, why not? This is fire.
Well, I can give you 5 reasons why not. but we don't have time for that. BetOnline.ag, where will John Harbaugh coach in 2026? Would you like to guess the odds-on favorite?
Tennessee?
Solana?
The Giants.
It is the Giants. Giants are -175 favorites.
Yeah.
Listen, the biggest market in the country. You bring a football winner to the New York Giants that already is experiencing some excitement with Jackson Dart. Gotta be an appealing spot.
I went Tennessee. I think I went young athletic quarterback, Cam Ward approach, but Jackson Dart's the same. Young athletic, exciting quarterback. He was in D.C. New York is right up the road. That makes sense.
And they have Malik Nabers, a number one option. I know he got injured.
And Scatabu.
And then they have Cam Scatabu, who will run through a wall for anybody.
They have a Pro Bowl left tackle. It's named Alex Thomas. Their rushers are crazy. Thibodeau, Brian Burns, and Abdul Carter. They have a roster up in New York.
So BetOnline has it as the Giants as the favorites. Then the Raiders at 5-1. The Browns at 6-1. The Falcons 8-1. Cardinals 12-1, Titans 12-1, and the Dolphins at 14-1. Now, I don't buy into their odds there. I will tell you this. I think John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh are men of principle. I think they certainly believe of themselves that way. I could see Jim Harbaugh saying to his brother, hey, I was part of this Dolphins thing when they had a head coach under contract. It blew up in everyone's face. Everyone thought it was unseemly that they were talking to me while they still had a head coach under contract. I'm not telling you I feel this way, but I could see a conversation where John Harbaugh or his agent says to the Dolphins, we can't have conversations if you have a current head coach because we have too many options for our client to go somewhere that has a coaching vacancy. We don't want him to be the guy who pushed out another head coach in this league. But if you're the Dolphins, you can't get rid of Mike McDaniel if you're not 100% certain that you're not getting John Harbaugh. That would be the worst outcome of everything. Well, I guess those who want Mike McDaniel gone, that wouldn't be the worst outcome of everything because you'd be done with him. But if you'd planned on retaining him and the only way you'd give him up is to get John Harbaugh, so you fire him and then you don't get John Harbaugh, you're back at that search to find Mike McDaniel again.
You're back finding the next upcoming new guy that's going to figure it out. I think this called a pickle. Mm-hmm. You're rocking a hard place. We fire him to get the good, the best guy. The best guy doesn't come. Now we have no head coach yet. Have the conversations. But is it that bad? Hawk, I think you called me out. Is it that bad if Mike McDaniel's gone and we have to find somebody else? Like, why is this hold that we've kind of talked about it? We hold it on to Mike McDaniel like he is this crown jewel or this unpolished diamond. He's not an unpolished diamond.
That's their decision. Like, they've made that decision. Like I said, they could have gotten rid of McDaniel several times during the season or the day after when a whole bunch of other coaches were let go. So their decision is to keep him. So I'm just thinking through their prism is, hey, if we've decided to keep him, we let him go because we want this guy, but we don't get that guy. We just made a mistake because we had talked ourselves into year five with McDaniel.
Yeah. And that list, the bet, the odds you just read off scare me because they're really just saying, because Harbaugh is the crown jewel of this coaching cycle.
Yes.
They're really just saying what's the most attractive job, and the Dolphins is at the bottom of the list. That's scary because I'm thinking through it. Like, I'm like, Atlanta, I'm like, damn, Atlanta, you have Bijan Robinson. You have one of the top defenses in the league. You go to them. Like, Arizona's weird to me. I don't know why Arizona would be above the Dolphins, but the Dolphins aren't a top five job available right now.
Anyway, let's get headlines because we have a lot to talk about today. A lot. Headlines with Alejandro Solana and his windbreaker.
He gets a brought Jackie Joyner Kersey.
Brought to you.
He got on his Jackie Joyner Kersey.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your pricito at Doral Kia. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. What is in the news, Flojo?
Who is ready for a little college football playoff semifinal tomorrow night? Who's ready?
Feed me. I am so ready.
That is tomorrow. There's a couple college football notes. You guys see the Alabama quarterback, Ty Simpson, is declaring for the NFL draft?
I did see that.
And then I think I sent it to you guys. Dan Orlovsky quote tweeted the report and said, I love him for the Dolphins.
Yeah. And then someone I saw responded with, great, just what we need, another Alabama quarterback coming off of Tua.
Let's bring him on in. I don't know if this quarterback class is strong. Ty Simpson and your boy Fernandez, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, the Heisman Trophy winner.
Fernandez. You got it.
Yeah. That dude's like a Miami legend, bro. I mean, come on, show a little respect to Menendez Fernandez.
I don't know. I don't see it. Maybe he turned me off with that goofy ass post game he had, but I don't know.
I don't trust any of your quarterback takes because you were down on Cam Ward before he got here. You were down on Carson Beck before he got here. And now all of a sudden, you no longer want, who's the Florida quarterback? I can't.
DJ Lagway.
Oh,
yeah. DJ Lagway. But you talked about DJ Lagway like he was the next Lamar Jackson.
I'll tell you, I was wrong on Lagway, and I was quite wrong on Cam Ward. I'm taking a win for Carson Beck.
Oh, Carson Beck's playing in a game to get to the national championship. Oh,
the team is carrying Carson Beck to the national championship.
He carried them several games.
He did. He had some good ones, but yeah, that Texas A&M game. What was it? 13-4
None of the playoff games, admittedly.
Yeah, Hawk, your track record stellar with all that Tua support over the last couple of years.
Well, don't forget about Tate Martell. Tua was actually my best one.
Just Tate. What was the quote? We got Tate.
The Panthers did lose to the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. I saw somebody text us, you know, any Marchand news. So he left the game early yesterday. Paul Maurice pulled him after the second intermission. But I was reading in Florida Hockey Now, George Richards was saying that Paul Maurice called that just precautionary. They're literally down everybody.
Yep.
And Marchie kind of took a big hit and he's like, hey, this one's over. We'll be all right. Let's get Marchie back in the locker room. So doesn't appear to be anything serious there.
Yeah.
And the Heat didn't pull Bam or Khalil Ware, but it felt like they did yesterday. Woo. In the second half.
What? Yeah,
that was bad.
Stinker. Man. Someone had put on the chat like right when we signed on and we were talking about other stuff, but it was like, Solana, defend Bam today.
Well, I mean, if you want me to, I could craft the defense.
It was rough.
It's not a defense as much as it is a question about Eric Spoelstra's methods right now. And look, I'm not here to question Spo because there's numbers that suggest that the Heat offenses look great this year. And we should, you know, praise him for whatever it is he did. But if your highest paid player can't execute in the offensive system you're running, then what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, isn't it time to readjust?
This is the Whiteside conversation all over again.
Yeah. Well, let's go off. Don't go off ticket price. Let's go off skill set. Bam doesn't function well in any offenses because he's not an offensive player.
But we've established this, Crowder. He's not Hakeem Olajuwon. And we keep. But
what did he end up with yesterday, though? Seven?
Yeah, seven.
Serious, strong seven.
So you are correct. Seven. He is not Olajuwon. I will give you that statement.
Get that one on the head.
All right. Your weather in South Florida right now, it is hot, especially in this windbreaker. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the upper 70s. That's your weather.
Zach Gelb is going to join us in the next segment.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
I love the colonoscopy. Zach Gelb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He is a longtime national radio host. He's an NFL studio host on Compass Media Networks, longtime friend of our program, and follow him on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Zach Gelb, does John Harbaugh immediately make the Dolphins multiple games better? Mike McDaniel ends the season 7-10. If John Harbaugh was the head coach of the Dolphins this past season, what's their final record?
They'd probably be 9-8. That would be my guess. I think it's a 2-win improvement. Also, the Dolphins put lipstick on a pig at the end of the season, so it inflates a little bit, you know, the job that Mike McDaniel did, which was really not much. It felt like you were watching for most of the year a team that was going to win, what, 5, 6, maybe even 7 games at most. So I think Harbaugh would bring professionalism to this organization that's going to have to go through a big rebuild. And he would be a face of the organization and a leader of a franchise. So if the Dolphins could get him, yes, I would have fired Mike McDaniel, even if John Harbaugh didn't become available. But I would absolutely fire him if you could go get him.
To that point, though, because we were talking about this earlier, Gil, do you fire Mike McDaniel without knowing Harbaugh's coming? Or you might mess up the Harbaugh thing with not firing Mike McDaniel. It's like, you know, it's a rock and a hard place situation. I'm with the thing of get rid of Mike McDaniel. We'll figure it out. But to let go of him now and you don't get Harbaugh, now you're in back in this cycle of let's figure out the next great offensive coordinator that could be a good head coach.
There's many reasons why Mike McDaniel should no longer have a job, but like, let's just be real here. If the Dolphins keep him, what are the chances when I'm doing this show in January of 2027 that we're sitting here saying, man, Mike McDaniel made a big improvement. The Dolphins need to keep him as the head coach. I think it's minuscule, extremely minuscule. So if it's just to keep him, and like, oh, well, you can't get somebody better. Well, can you really get someone that's really that worse with what is trans? And I get it. The guy took him to the playoffs twice. He hasn't been an unmitigated disaster. But where the current state of he is, like, well, you're keeping him to do what next year? I know turnarounds could happen very quickly in this league. Does anyone think the Miami Dolphins are going to the postseason next year? You'd be insane to say that. Or you'd just be Hawk.
Hawk raised his hand. Yes. To your point, to answer your question, to get the divorce without knowing the next step, I guess that's the fear of it.
Put it this way. They're in couples therapy. They know this marriage is not salvageable. And they are now yelling in couples therapy. And you're saying to yourself, all right, I'll put up with it for 3 or 4 more months to make it look like I'm doing the right thing. You know it. She knows it. It's over. It's like the only one that doesn't know that is Stephen Ross for some reason. And he keeps on paying the check. So until Stephen Ross realizes, oh, my goodness gracious, I'm old. I don't know how many more opportunities I have to go try to compete for this thing. Then I guess he's going to continue to keep Mike McDaniel because he likes him and he's funny at the podium. Like, give me a break.
Stephen Ross loves the therapist. That's why he continues going. He thinks he's going to end up with the therapist. He's Tony Soprano, going to go see Dr. Melfi. He thinks he's going to end up bagging the therapist. Here's the thing, though, Gelb, because, look, I thought, and we've talked about this a million times, they should have cleaned house. I think Mike McDaniel, it's run its course in Miami. Mm-hmm. But is he well-respected around the league in terms of his approach to the game? And because I think, you know, how it's being painted here is, hey, he had a quarterback situation that just died at the end, and the general manager situation, the GM didn't put him in a good spot. And they think that he's capable with another quarterback and another general manager in a better situation to truly show how great of a head coach he is. And I think there's a lot of people around the league. We don't down here because we're just sick of it after 4 years. But I think the notion around the league is that Mike McDaniel truly not only is a good head coach, but is well-respected in terms of his offensive abilities as well.
To me, good offensive mind, he's more of an offensive coordinator than a head coach. The professionalism, the day-to-day operations, him just speaking at the podium, he causes more problems for himself. And I think there are people in the media that go, oh, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. Like, let me be clear. But they go, oh, Mike McDaniel, he's great. He's unbelievable because he's entertaining to cover. But when you're not winning, I don't care if you're the greatest comedian in the world at the podium, you're not a great head football coach. Have there been coaches that have got second chances that have been far and away worse than Mike McDaniel? Absolutely. I'm not sitting here and saying he'll never get a second opportunity to be a head coach. If I was running the team, though, if I was the owner, if I was the general manager, and if I'm having all these candidates out there, I'm saying to me, Mike McDaniel is just a guy I would consider to be an offensive coordinator, not a head coach for my organization.
Rex Ryan is the example who comes to mind for me when you talk about guys entertaining at the podium, but when you're not winning, it's not cute or funny anymore.
Yes, but to be fair, Rex did get the 2 AFC championships.
No. I'm saying when it's working, it's the greatest thing, and you love him, and you wish every coach could be that way. And when it's going south, and it doesn't matter how much you have in your resume, when it's going south, that stuff just isn't cute anymore. But that's with anything.
Look at it with Belichick. And I know that's to the ultimate extreme. Belichick was an a-hole at the podium, but he didn't want to talk to the media. Like, earlier in his coaching days, he was friendlier with the media. When you win, though, you could be good. You could be an ass with the media. It doesn't matter as long as you're winning. Mike McDaniel, the tangents, and it's Napoleon Dynamite almost. I feel like I'm watching that movie when he's at the podium. That's the vibe that I get. And I sit there and I go, to the players, they like him, but do they really respect him? Like, coaching right now is, you have to be a player's coach. The my way or the highway guy anymore doesn't really work, but you can't be a doormat. Like Mike Vrabel in New England, he's not a pushover, but he's hugging his players after the game. He's player friendly. And then when he speaks, it's okay. That's the boss in the room. That's the guy that's laying down the law. And when Mike McDaniel speaks, I kind of feel like some of those guys in the locker room kind of think he's the court jester.
It's funny, Gil, because we speak about this like McDaniel's not the head coach anymore. We're throwing him in with the Arizonas and the Atlantas and all that because of Huck said a number of people just want him gone. We don't need a head coach. Just hire some coordinators and we'll figure this thing out. But when you read when you see the odds on where Harbaugh's going, the Dolphins are below Atlanta, Arizona, which is puzzling to me. I don't see something great in Arizona to be there, but in the odds, they were below Arizona. Is Miami worse than any other job that could become available out there? Because the damn Browns going to Cleveland's better than coming down here. It sounds crazy.
And the favorites, by the way, is in New York, where you are, the Giants.
Yeah. And I think Harbaugh could be the next coach of the Giants. It wouldn't surprise me if Brady gets him with the Raiders just to throw two destinations out there. You look at the Dolphins, though. Tyreek Hill, does anyone want to put up with him? And he's coming off the injury. You look at Jalen Waddle. It seems like it's probably better to just get the draft picks for him now. And he's a very good young football player. Devon Achane, very good young football player. Like, other than that, what do they really got? Like, you got Tua, who maybe he's going to be here next year. And I think he would because of the money, or maybe they just pulled the rug out underneath him. I was reading some stuff over the weekend and they just bite the bullet, but that contract situation is a disaster. So you don't got a quarterback. You're in a division where there's two elite quarterbacks or guys that, you know, Allen's obviously elite. Drake May is looking like he's going to be the MVP of the league this year. It's either going to be him or Stafford. So it's only one of 32 jobs. But still, with that being said, if it means you get Chris Shula, if you get Kubiak, you know, these guys are unknowns. I don't know how they're going to be from going from offensive and defensive coordinators as head coach. But I already know what Mike McDaniel is. And I would rather roll the dice and try something different. When the Dolphins are heading back to one of these plans once again, where first year it's a wash, second year it's okay, make an improvement, and then third year go compete for a playoff spot.
What about Stefanski? Would you rather have Stefanski over McDaniel?
Oh, yeah. Stefanski in Cleveland won two Coach of the Year awards in Cleveland. Like, yeah, I'd rather have Stefanski.
Do you think, too, most people are of the belief down here, certainly the people who cover, that Tua's done with the Dolphins. They will pay him his money. He just can't come back. It's too fractured at this point. Do you believe Tua Tagovailoa could be a quality starting quarterback for another team in the NFL?
For one season, yes. For multiple seasons, and do I think that he's going to go find a 3-4 year run straight of success? No. Whether it's the injuries or just the inconsistencies that we've seen. And that's why after last year, when he got through the season healthy, I said it with you guys before the start of this season. I go, you guys aren't going to like to hear it. And Dolphins fans are going to call me an idiot, a moron, and a dope. And oh, it's a national media member, blah, blah, blah. But I go, now let's see if he could do it for back-to-back seasons. And he wasn't able to do it this season. So I just think, can he play to a top 10 level where one year – you're looking at him and you go, oh, statistically, he's a top 10 quarterback in the league for one season. Yes. But then the next year, I'm expecting him to get hurt or just to be wildly inconsistent, you know, when he won on the deep ball shots and not ending up being the player that we thought he was going to be coming out of Alabama.
It would be so Dolphins, though, if next year, like the Colts sign him, he plays half his games in a dome and he's back to being the leading passer in the NFL. It would literally be the most Dolphins thing. Gelb, who the hell do you like to come to go to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl? I don't know. Who the hell do you trust in the playoffs right now? Because Hawk and I were trying to figure this out. Like, I mean,
no
I'm
one.
Sitting here There's in the no AFC one. And I'm saying, Josh Allen, like, you better get through the AFC.
If you would have asked me this question 3-4 weeks ago, I'd be like, maybe the Bills and the Rams. Neither of them won their division. The Rams finished in what? They're the fifth seed. So second place in the division. If they didn't
they're
win last
weekend, they're going to play Carolina though. They got lucky. They're going to play Carolina. Yeah. They're going to run through that game.
Well, they lost to Carolina earlier this year, and I do agree with you. I do think the Rams are going to win. But remember, a few years ago when it was more than a few years ago now, it was the Saints and the Seahawks, and it was the beast mode game, and everyone's like, "Oh, the Seahawks don't belong," and they ended up winning. So you have a home playoff game. Who knows? I do agree that it's the Rams. If Josh put it this way, there's no more pressure on any head coach or quarterback in the postseason this year than Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. You don't got Lamar, who you've already beat twice in the postseason. You don't got your kryptonite in the Kansas City Chiefs, Joe Burrow, who you lost to at home, where they embarrassed your 1 year, aren't in it. And if you let the Patriots, which I would love to see it, let me be clear, but if you allow the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl, or the Broncos with Bo Nix and Sean Payton to go to the Super Bowl, and you can't find a way to get the job done, as great as Josh Allen is, and you could argue he's the best quarterback in football, you then sit there and you go, well, is this organization ever going to get one after all the heartbreak that they've suffered through during the last five seasons?
I thought you were trying to, because we know you're a Patriots fan. I thought you were trying not to say the Patriots because we would call you a homer. But
no, I wouldn't care. You know me better than this. I will come on the show and tell you that Solana basically, I can't say what I wanted to say, but Solana massages right the Miami Heat a lot. I will say here that Hawk, Mr. Oh, I'm at the Winter Classic right there. How about Solana putting up a montage? Any photos from that game, Solana? Did you even stay for more than 5 minutes, by the way? So I think the page, here's the thing. I believe in this football team. I think this football team is really good. But then, like, just in my brain, a little voice goes off and they go, Zach, does it really happen this quickly that you guys become this great again? They could get there. The AFC is weak this year. The NFC is extremely inconsistent. So can they get there? Yes, but I still have a tough time envisioning that they're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
I hate it, too. There's no way you go from Brady to another MVP, but you did. There's no way Mike Vrabel comes
Jones
in.
Between. We had to suffer through Mac Jones and, and
Joe Judge. What a long, you know, terrible era.
We did make the playoffs 1 year.
We
could relate to you. We lost to Buffalo, like in Buffalo. We get it.
Hey, don't hate on Mac Jones. That might be our QB1 next year. That's my guy, bro.
Go get him. But I got the Pats. Jaguars, I don't believe in, which they're hot right now, but I actually got the Pats Rams going. I think the Rams turned around, but yeah, the Pats, man, it's almost like you want yourself not to think they're that good for some crazy reason. That's why I think I'm sitting in there.
But to your point, like, all right, you're taking the Patriots, and I'll spin this into a Dolphins point. We're sitting here saying, oh, like Mike McDaniel, can they do any better? Like the Patriots hired Gerard Mayo. He was there for one season. Now, obviously, they knew they were going to get Mike Vrabel, but they got rid of a coach after one season where, like, let's be real. Was Gerard Mayo ever going to be a good coach in New England? Probably not. But was he deserving of getting fired with the roster that he had? Also, probably not. But Robert Kraft sat there and he said, I just feel as if this isn't going to work. I made a mistake. Let me not keep him around for 3-4 more seasons. Rip off the Band-Aid now and go get Mike Vrabel. And instantly, if you have a coach and a quarterback in this league, it's not as if the Patriots have this, like, unbelievable, tremendous roster, things could change very quickly.
Real quick, because we're out of time. Tomorrow, Fiesta Bowl, you're going with the Canes? So who do you have as your matchup in the national championship?
Not so fast, my friends. I'm taking Ole Miss, actually.
What? No.
Yeah. Wow. I hate to do it that way, but you set it up so I could be a little Lee Corso-like. I just trust Trinidad Chambliss. I've been in love with Ole Miss all throughout
the season. You watched UM in Ohio State?
Yeah. Did you watch Ole Miss in Georgia?
Did you watch UM in Texas A&M?
Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, Texas A&M, that was not the
Did you watch UM in Notre Dame? Back in August?
The battle in the trenches is where Miami is elite. There's no doubt about it. And I think these two teams are so close. Kiwon Lacy's a heck of a running back. But I just look at it, Chambliss versus Beck. That's how I'm going to dumb this thing down. I just trust Chambliss more than I do Carson Beck right now. So I take Ole Miss in a slight victory over the Canes. And it pains me, because my dear, dear friend, Mario Cristobal, is like the coach of the Miami Hurricanes. It pains me.
Man, doesn't sound like it, does it? Doesn't sound like it pains him at all.
I texted him and his one of his best men at his wedding right after the game as the ball was dropped. Congratulations, coach, blah, blah. Like, I will like to see Miami win, but you asked me for an unbiased take, something Solana's incapable of, and I'm just telling you I like to go with Ole Miss here.
How dare you. Zach Gelb, follow him on social media, ZACHGELB. Zach Gelb,
hey,
we'll talk to you
Bam
next week.
Hey, how did Bam Adebayo do the other night, by the way? Just one.
Last night, you mean? Seven points, seven. But seven quality points.
Oh, yeah.
Clutch. Yeah.
Seven. See you, Gelby.
Bam! 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 Bam!
Later, see you, guys. Gelby. There you go. Zach Gelb on the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana program. Pulled the rug out from under me at the end there. I thought he was taking the Canes. He did pull a Lee Corso on me.
We have time. I could argue everything he said. Chambliss ain't going to run around like he's playing 707.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. All right, we got to take a break.
You know I'm a Kane now. Got to take two more days.
Okay.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
50% of the time I stay in hotels, I clog the toilet.